stuff that you need to know. Go into the book of John, chapter 8, verse 32. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Everybody say, "Ye shall know the truth." That's basic stuff that you need to know. Amen. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." You may be seated. Knowledge can be a wonderful thing. But as all things, knowledge in the hands of the wrong people can be a dangerous thing. And that was the case in the time of Jesus Christ when he was walking on the earth, that some knowledge, partial knowledge, had gotten into the hands of the wrong people. There were some people that thought they knew things, and that's the most dangerous kind. And Jesus met with some of those. He had ridden into the city in the triumphant entry, and the people had recognized their Messiah. And they had taken garments and laid them in the streets, and they took palm branches and waved, and they sang the psalm from Isaiah and Zechariah, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Amen. "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And they were fulfilling the prophecies. And Jesus came into the city. It was the last week of his life. Theologians call it the Passion Week. And he was teaching openly. And the opposition was open. As a matter of fact, in Mark chapter 12, Jesus was just completing a parable that he told, and it was quite pointed. And they recognized who he was talking about. He was talking about his own death. He was talking about his own crucifixion. And they picked up on the fact that he was talking about them. And in Mark chapter 12 in verse number 12 and verse number 12, the Bible says, speaking of the Pharisees, they sought to lay hold on him, but they feared the people. And here it is, "For they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way." They knew something. They knew that they need to be afraid of the people, because there were a lot of people that believed on Jesus Christ, and these were folks that were trying to please the people. And the Bible said, and verse 13, "And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians." In other words, they searched out the brains. The Bible said to catch him in his way. They were trying to trip him up. They were trying to make Jesus falter and reveal error in what he said. You know, some people are pretty good at that, setting traps with words. And they did set a good trap. They did. The Bible said, listen, I want you to look at verse number 14. "And when they were come, they said unto him," listen closely, "Master," there's hypocrisy, "we know that thou art true and carest for no man." What they mean is you don't esteem one above another. You are not impressed with degrees and pompous attitudes. You're not impressed with status or influence. "Thou regardest not the person of men, but thou teachest the way of God in truth." Now, isn't that quite a flowery introduction there? And they didn't mean a word of it. You watch out when people get to praising you. Paul and Silas had a little of that, didn't they? They were praising them, and then just a little bit later they were getting ready to kill them. So these things can turn pretty quick. And so they're buttering him up. And then they listened to the question. They said, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? In other words, they're saying, is it right to pay your taxes? Now, taxes were no more popular in Jerusalem than they are in Athens, Texas. How many love paying taxes tonight? Well, I think we're unanimous. Not a hand was raised in the house. Amen. Nobody likes to pay taxes. Amen. Even though you don't pay any, you don't like to pay taxes. And so that then they knew that. They were trying to get Jesus in an unpopular stance against the people. Now, if Jesus said, well, I don't believe you ought to pay taxes, then Rome was going to come down on him. And if Jesus said, well, I believe you should pay taxes, then all the Jews are going to come down on him. But listen to what he said. Listen very carefully. Verse 15, he said, but knowing their hypocrisy, he said unto them, Jesus knew what was happening here. He understood. This was not a sincere question. This was a question born out of pride, a question that was born out of flattery, a question that was born out of hypocrisy. And so here's his answer. He said, bring me a penny or a coin and that I may see it. And they brought it, and he said unto them, whose is this image and superscription? In other words, whose picture's on this? And they said, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Woo, what an answer. Amen. That's why we don't need to fall too much in love with money. It ain't going up. That's right. You're not going to need it up there. Street's going to be paved with gold. That's the cheapest stuff they got in heaven. I don't know what else he's got up there, but gold's plentiful. It's what we're going to be walking on. It's going to just be pavement. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you're not going to need a lot of money up there. So Jesus is saying, this stuff, don't fall in love with this. This belongs to Caesar. So give it to Caesar. Amen. In other words, he's saying, yeah, pay your taxes. Yeah, pay your taxes. And the Bible says, and they marveled at him. They went away shaking their heads and foiled again. And right on the heels of that come the other bunch. You know, the Sadducees. You know why they called them that? They didn't believe in the resurrection. So they were sad, you see. I'm glad y'all laughed. I've told that a bunch of times. I didn't know if you'd still laugh or not. But it's still funny, isn't it? They were sad, you see. And so the Sadducees come, and they have their turn at Jesus. Verse 18, and said, and then come the Sadducees that would say there's no resurrection, and they told him this crazy story about a man that had a wife. And the brother died, left his wife, and the law said that he should take his brother's wife, his wife, and raise up seed to his brother. But before that happened, that brother died. I would have left that woman alone. Especially after about the seventh time. It's a crazy story. So they go through seven different men that married this woman. None of them wised up. And he said, here's the crux of the matter. They said, and in the resurrection, which they didn't believe in, they said, now whose wife is this going to be? They missed the whole point. Listen to Jesus' answer. Verse 24, and Jesus answering said unto them, do you not therefore err because you know not the Scriptures, neither the power of God? He said, there's two things you're missing. Number one, you don't know the Bible. Number two, you don't know the power of God. Amen. They For when they shall rise from the dead, they shall neither marry nor be given in marriage, but as the angels which are in heaven. Amen. There's not going to be any men or husbands and wives. He said that relationship is not what's going to be there. Amen. It's going to be a different situation when we get up there. And he said, and it is touching the dead. They that rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, which they revered? Now listen, the Sadducees only accepted as inspiration the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? No, Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. How's that? We did get it. Amen. And so they only accepted those five books as being inspired. And Jesus took them to those books that they believe. And listen to what he said. He said, have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him saying, I am, everybody say, I am, I was, but I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but he's God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. You see, what this was written hundreds of years, 500 years after Abraham died and all of his heirs. And here he is, God has said, I am. They still exist. They're not gone. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They live on. And so, man, but he blasted them out of the water. You know, we have to be careful when we speak and what we say. Because if you're around somebody that's pretty smart, you can get all tangled up. And so they were defeated in their own folly. And Jesus destroyed their arguments. You see, but that their knowledge was not true knowledge. They weren't seeking information. They didn't really want to know anything. All they wanted to do was to show him up and show how smart they were. And show that they could destroy him with words. Didn't happen, but they tried. And that's not true knowledge. Actually is like Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, by the way. But in John chapter 3, there was a man by the name of Nicodemus. The Bible said he came to Jesus at night. And he comes and he says, good master, good master. He said, we that thou art a teacher come from. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now that's not flattery, that's praise. What's the difference in flattery and praise? One thing, motive. Motive. If you're just buttering somebody up so you can get something from them, that's flattery. But if it's genuine and sincere and heartfelt, that's praise. Some people flatter God and some people praise God. And so they come and Nicodemus is not a flatterer. He's being honest. It's just he and the Lord. There's nobody else there. He doesn't have an audience. He's not trying to impress anybody. He's just as sincere as he can possibly get. And to this sincere man, Jesus opens wide. And I'm so glad that because of him, we have this beautiful message that the Lord gave. John chapter 3 and verse number 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the King of God. Now, we have that in the Scripture because of Nicodemus. And then he goes on in verse 5. Jesus answered, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, but I say unto thee, ye must be born again. For the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. And so he's answering the question. He said that you got to be born again. Speaking of a new birth. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit. Amen. You were born of flesh one time. Your mother gave you birth. And that's the birth of the flesh. But you've got to be born again, Jesus said. And this time, you're born of spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. That is a new nature. That's the regeneration of the spiritual man that died because of sin in the Garden of Eden. But God renews that spirit of life in you when He gives you the gift of the Ghost, of the Spirit. And that's why He said you must be born again. This Bible said that if we have the Spirit of the Lord, it's going to quicken. The word quicken means make alive. The Holy Ghost is going to catch us out of here. I remember, some of you may remember, a number of years ago there was a course that was popular in Jamaica and made its way over here. And we used to sing, Holy Ghost power is moving just like a magnet. Anybody remember that? The Holy Ghost power is moving just like a magnet. Amen. What happens to the magnet? I'm really dated here, huh? Sister Covey, she got it anyway. That's an old song, but anyway, you get the point, right? What happens with a magnet? You can run a magnet all day long over that wood, and nothing's going to happen. You can run it over Brother Colton's recording device, and nothing's going to happen. May tear it up, but nothing's going to happen. But you run across certain kinds of metal. And those poles get to attract it, and zoom, it's going to join together. That's what the Holy Ghost does. Amen. When the Holy Ghost comes, Brother Neil, he's looking for Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is going to attract Ghost. Spirit's going to attract Spirit. Amen. If we have the Spirit of God, that's what's going to attract us. And we're going to be sucked out of here. Amen. By the power of the Holy Ghost. And so he's letting him know. He said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. If you don't get born again, there's nothing to get you out of here. It's Holy Ghost that's going to get us out. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is what's going to transform our bodies unto Him. And here's a man that's looking for spiritual knowledge, and Jesus gave him. Here's a man that's sincere. He wanted to know how to be saved, and the Lord's telling him. Nicodemus became a follower of the Lord. Amen. You know, there's some knowledge that you gain by experience. Brother Holly taught us, our Bible college president, that he said that the man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. Amen. If you've ever eaten sugar, you know it's sweet. And somebody can argue with you. I don't care if they got as many degrees as a thermometer. They can argue it's not, but you know it is because you had sugar. And you know it's sweet. Once you've had an experience, you know it's real. You know it's genuine. Amen. You came too late to tell me that you can't receive the Holy Ghost these days speaking in tongues. Because I've already done that. You can't tell me that we don't need the Spirit anymore. That was just for another time in another church. Because it still operates in this church. Amen. We still believe in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit according to the Word of the Lord. Amen. And so you see, there are some things that you know by experience. There was a man in the 9th chapter of the book of John that was born blind. And he didn't ever. From the first time. Now, he couldn't tell any difference in the mother's womb and the outside world. It was dark in there. It was dark when he got out. He was blind from his mother's womb. I don't know what the problem was, but he was blind. And Jesus came upon the man and he healed him. Very unorthodox. I love that story. I preach on it often because it's got so much to tell us. But Jesus, I'll make it short. He put mud in his eyes and said, go wash. Well, I guarantee you get mud in your eyes, you're going to go wash. He made sure he was going to obey. And he did. And the Bible said, and as soon as he washed the mud out of his eyes, he could see. Wow. It's hard to comprehend. His world changed. From blind to sighted. Because of somebody putting mud in his eyes and telling him to wash, and he was healed. And he came seeing. Well, immediately, people noticed. And they said, that looks like that guy that was, you remember, I put some money in his cup just a few days ago. Look at him. Hypocrite. No, he really was blind. He really was. But now he's seeing, obviously. And he's just in wonderment. He's just walking around looking at stuff and touching stuff and feeling stuff and thinking, my. Well, that's what cold looks like. And that's what hot looks like. Oh, that's what birds look like. Everything that he saw was beautiful, sighted now. And so people began to talk and said, well, and then somebody said, well, that is him. And they went and got the parents and they said, yeah, that's him. He's never been able to see, but that's him. Something's happened. I don't know what happened, but that's him. And would you believe the Pharisees got involved? They were nosy people, weren't they? We still got a few of them around today. They had to put their nose in everybody's business. And so they brought this man down he was blind, now he could see. They didn't get excited about that, Brother Neil. That did not excite them in the least. That did not inspire them to work. That did not build their faith in Jesus Christ. All that did was make them angry. How dare he heal a man that was blind on the Sabbath day of all times? He could have just waited until Sunday. Well, but he healed him. And they had all, listen to the knowledge, verse number 24. They're talking to this man that just healed. And this is what they said about Jesus. And they said, give God the praise. We know that this man, speaking of Jesus, is a sinner. Now, how do they know that? They'd never seen him sin. They'd never heard him sin. They never heard a word out of his mouth. They never saw him do a wrong thing. There was absolutely no witness ever because he did not sin. But in their mind, they said he's a sinner. We know that. We know that. Isn't it amazing what people know? But people know stuff. It's not so, but they know it. Verse 29. We know that God spake unto Moses, but we know not from whence he is. In other words, we don't know where this guy came from. We don't know anything about him. Now, we know about Moses, but we don't know about him. And then verse 31, here's something else they knew. It said, we know that God heareth not. Not true. If God didn't hear sinners, none of us could be saved. Isn't that right? Not one of us could be saved if God didn't hear sinners. Amen. Well, Brother Grissom, he only hears repentance. I don't know about that. Amen. My pastor used to tell me about an old farmer, an old rancher. He didn't believe in God. One day he was out in the field and one of his prized bulls was dying. He believed in God. But he said, God, if you're up there, he said, if you'll heal this old bull, I'll believe in you. And that bull got up, lived on for many years. And that fellow went to church, kept his word. Kept his word. He was in the church in Corpus Christi, Texas for many, many years. Kept his word. God answered his prayer. Hallelujah. And that man served God from that day on. Amen. So you see, God hears sinners' prayers. Amen. I've known people that weren't, but they cried out in times they needed protection, and God protected them. They cried out to God for provision, and God provided for them. But here's a bunch of people saying, we know God doesn't hear sinners. some things you know just not true. And that was one of them. Because God did hear sinners. Amen. And then listen to this man's reply. Here's what the blind man, former blind man, now seeing man said. He said, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. That's what I know. You argue about the rest of it. You figure out who he is and where he came from. But I know one thing, that I was blind, but now I can see. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They got so upset with him, they kicked him out of the synagogue. Wouldn't let him worship there anymore. Got angry with him, got everybody all upset. And so as soon as Jesus heard that, the Bible said, he came looking for the man. And Jesus asked him a question, do you believe in the Son of God? And he said, who is he that I might know? And Jesus said, well, the one that's talking to you. And then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. He added to his knowledge, you see. He added to it. One of the things that you need to know is Jesus Christ. You need to know him personally. Secondhand faith won't do. Somebody else's experience won't. You've got to know him for yourself. You've got to be able to say, once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was lost, but now I found. You've got to be able to say, that's something you need to know tonight. Now, you don't need to think that. You don't need to hope that. You need to know that. Amen. Brother Arthur Clanton wrote an old song, said, I know I'm saved. And I'm so glad about it. I found the joy my spirit craved. It is so real that I could never doubt it. Praise the Lord, I know I'm saved. Amen. You got to know that, you see. You got to know that. You got to be so knowledgeable and you've got to experience that. When the devil comes and tells you you're not, you'll know that you are. Even when you don't feel like it, you know you are. Anybody ever feel unsaved? Amen. That doesn't mean they do feelings, does it? Amen. Sometimes I feel bad. Amen. Sometimes I feel rotten. Amen. Sometimes I'm just flat out aggravated. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? If you do, shake out here. What's wrong with the rest of you? Your head don't work? You can do yours like this. I don't care. But all of us have been there. Some days we don't feel safe. It's not about your feelings. It's about what you know. Sometimes I don't even feel like a human being, but I know I am one. It's not your feelings. It's what you know. You've got to know Jesus Christ. Amen. Experientially, you have to know him. Amen. Another thing that we need to know is, we need to know when we're lost. Did you know, if you don't know you're lost, you don't know how to get where you're going. Somebody asked Daniel Boone one time, you ever been lost? He said, nope. Said, I've been bewildered 2 or 3 days. I guess there's a difference in bewildered and lost. But if you don't know where you are, you're lost. And so before you can find where you're trying to go, you got to admit you're lost. You might even have to ask for directions. Now that might cost you your man card, but sometimes you got to do it. Amen. Sometimes God's just merciful. Man, I've got right to the point of having to ask directions and I'd figure it out. And I was so glad. Amen. Of course, now we got to, if you got a phone that has GPS, you can cheat. You don't have to worry about that. Boy, that's a redemption for us hard-headed men that don't like to ask. Why is that? I don't know, but it just is. Amen. And so you got to know when you're lost. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before us, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and for as for our iniquities, we know them. You've got to know when you're wrong. You've got to know when you sin. Anybody here know when you sin? Thank God that I know when I sin. Thank God I know when I mess up. Thank God I know I'm wrong. My wife tells me. No, it's real sweet. She'll do much of that. No, it's the Holy Ghost that tells me. Sometimes she helps the Holy Ghost, but we know. Even as some of you looking at one another, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You got it. Amen. But we got to know when we're wrong. We got to know when we're lost. Amen. Because as long as you don't know that you're lost, how are you going to know when you're found? Amen. How do you know when to start looking for something else? Looking for the Lord. Looking for God. Looking for help. Looking for mercy. Looking for redemption. You got to know that you're lost. That's basic. And then you got to know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You know how you can recognize truth? Number one, hear me. You'll know the truth if it comes out of this book. Rightly divided. Now you got to watch it. Some people, you know, they'll take the Word of God and they make it say anything they want to say. That's why you need to know it for yourself. There's a portion of a verse that says, there's another portion of a verse that says, and Judas went out and hanged himself. And there's another portion that says, go thou and do likewise. You see, you can support anything you want to support. Amen. You got to watch it. Rightly divide the word of truth. Amen. The women used to wear a little, put their hair up, a little knot on their head, Pentecostal knots, the moves. And we got all kinds of stuff. But it meant your glory. Amen. But there was a pattern. He didn't like those little top knots. He didn't like them. Now, he didn't have any scripture for it, but he found some. He did. Really hard, but he found it. And he read the verse like this. He said, let he that is on the house top knot come down. Now that's going out there to form a doctrine, but he found it. So the truth is in this book, rightly divided. Amen. You can't take things out of their context and other things. You gotta just it does explain itself. If one verse is not clear, you'll find other verses that will clarify and magnify what you just saw, and it'll bring meaning out, and you'll understand why it will be illuminated. But Bible interprets the Bible. You need to know truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many know that the book of Acts is the birthday of the church? Amen. That the church was born on the day of Pentecost. Amen. We know that, don't we? So if I want to know what it takes to be saved, I think I ought to be reading the book of Acts. Amen. And so if I'm looking for salvation, and somebody said, well, the church was born in the book of Acts in chapter 2, you might want to read that and see what happened. And I did read that. And Peter got to preaching to a bunch of people on that day, and they got convicted after he told them that the Lord that they had crucified was Lord in Christ, and that he was resurrected and he was alive forevermore. And the Bible said they were convicted, and they asked this question, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children, and are all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And they got a hold of that. And you know what happened? They received the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. That very day, amen, they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. They got a hold of it. They received it. God gave it to them.
Amen.
And my, the church then began to grow. So you need to know basic truth. First thing you need to know if you're not saved is how to be saved.
Right.
Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's that simple. That's what Peter preached, and though he was standing with the 11, and so if there was anything wrong with his message, I believe somebody would have corrected him. And then he went on to preach, and guess what? John preached the same thing. And Paul preached the same thing. And they all preached the same thing. Amen. So where do we get off track that some people don't preach that anymore? Amen. Let's go back to the original, folks. Amen. Let's go back to what the Scriptures say. Very obvious. Don't add to it. Don't take anything away from it. Just receive it as it is. Amen. You see, you need to know that. Praise the Lord. You need to know Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. That'll help you a lot in life. You know that verse. And we know, everybody say we know. I hope you do. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Everybody say, all things work together. Now, not all things are good. And not all things are the will of God. Some things that you go through are consequences of not doing the right thing. That was not the will of God, that you suffer some things that you suffer. That you do some things. Amen. Isn't that right? That's true, isn't it? Some things that we do that will bring consequences. It's not the will of God. But you know what? God can even use things to bring good to our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. I said, God can even use bad things to bring good to our lives. So some things we bring us by bad choices. Bad choices. Anybody know anything about bad choices? Well, we bring things on ourselves by bad choices. Then don't blame God, but God can bring good even out of those things. He can. So they work together. The bad and the good. And God. And it works together. And He can make good out of those things. Yep. Amen. Some things are caused by others. Some bad things happen to us. We don't have anything to do with it. We don't have any control over it. But it happens because of other people and what they do to us. But God can even take things that are bad that other people do to us, and He can make good things out of it. Ever had that happen to you? There's a man by the name of Joseph in the Bible. Anybody remember him? That got falsely accused, sold by his brethren into slavery, wound up in prison for somebody lying on him. It was just one bad thing after the other. And did God use all those things to bring good in his life? Did He ever? I mean, He took him from prison, set him in the king's chariot, riding around with the king's rings, necklace, and the king's chariot, and the king's horses, and the king's robes, and the king's everything. Amen. Telling the king what to do, he just had to be careful how he did it. But he was. He was the power behind the throne. And God did that in one day's time. But a lot of bad stuff happened before that. But God used it for good. So just because bad people do bad things to you doesn't mean that God can't bring good out of it. As a matter of fact, Joseph later said, he said, you intended it for bad, but God made it good. So God brought bad out of that. Things that happened to us are just life. The Bible said, time and chance happeneth to them all. Some things that happen, it's not the devil, it's not you, it's not somebody else, it's just life. Amen. I've had two heart attacks, and you know, that's just life. Amen. I'm a Grissom. And that's what Grissoms do. When the males get to a certain age, that's just what they do. And it's not anybody's fault. It's just what happens. It's life. They tell me it's jeans. I don't even wear jeans all the time. Very rarely when I'm working. But I get it anyway. My brothers did. Amen. But it's just a part. You see, life happens to people. And bad things in life happens to people. Even Christians. Amen. You and I know that, don't we? I mean people that live exemplary lives, but they suffer the same stuff. I've known people that lived, I mean, perfect lives as far as we knew, and die of diseases. Why? It's life. Except for the rapture, none of us are getting out of here alive. Something's going to happen to you. And so life happens to people. But God can use bad stuff to bring good stuff. And you need to know that. You need to understand that when you're going through time, whether it's something you did or something somebody did to you, or whether it's just life happening, that this too shall pass, and God's going to use this to bring good somehow into my life. Some of the things that you suffer and go through will open up an audience that you can talk to somebody else about the Lord. Amen. God brings good out of these things. We need to know that. Yes. That the difference is, if you're serving the Lord and you love God and you're living according to His purpose, that all the stuff that happens, God's going to use it eventually for good. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you need to know, according to 1 John chapter 5, verse 15, there's prayer. You need to know that. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. God answers prayer. Do you know that? You need to know that. You need to know that. You also need to know this, that God always answers prayer. It may not be the answer you want. God controls the answer. God doesn't always say yes. If it's not the right thing, God will say no. And sometimes God will say, wait. And sometimes God will say, yes. But God answers prayer. Have you ever prayed a prayer that God didn't answer right away, and later on you were glad He didn't? I've had that experience. Amen. We were praying one time. God would give us a house, and we were looking for houses we couldn't find. We decided my mom was over home, and so we decided we'd one of those, and we prayed about it, and we didn't get it. I'm so glad. Interest was 20%. And I was young and stupid. I didn't know. I didn't know anything about interest back then. I do now, and I'm interested. When you start talking about a loan, first thing I want to know is, now I don't want to know the bottom line. I want to know how much interest this is going to cost me. We went to buy a house, and they had it all figured up when I got there. I mean, they had all the figured up and told me what my payments were going to be. And I said, well, wait a minute. What if I pay it off in 15 years instead of 30? They said, oh, we didn't think of that. Yes, they did. I want to finance it for 15. They wanted that interest. And you know what? It wasn't that much more as far as a monthly payment, but it was a world of difference as far as the interest payment. Amen. And so what are you saying, Pastor? I'm just saying God does answer prayers, and sometimes at the moment you may think, well, God didn't answer my prayer, but He did. And down the road you're going to say, I'm sure He answered that. Yeah. I'm glad you didn't give me what I asked for. Amen. Some of you prayed for husbands and something came along and you thought, there's the answer to my prayer, and then later you're so glad that wasn't it. And vice versa. Some guys have had that experience. Amen. You see, it's life, isn't it? God doesn't always answer prayer the way you think He's going to do it. But He does answer. Amen. And then lastly, I'm going to close. We need to know that there's a heaven to gain. And we need to know that there's a hell to shun. Anybody still believe in hell? 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. I love that verse. Isn't it amazing? Woo! Amen. That's just thrilling. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know, there it is, we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Amen. Isn't it great? Things are going to get better, folks. Things are going to get better. Amen. This old body's going to get better. Amen. Praise the Lord. Your body's not going to be like the body you got right now. The Bible said there's not going to be any pain. Not going to be any arthritis or any of the rest of them artist boys. None of that's going to happen. Amen. Not going to have to worry about heart trouble because you ain't going to have one. Not going to have to worry about blood disease. Ain't going to have to worry about diabetes. Amen, because you're not going to have any blood. Praise the Lord. You're not going to be powered by blood. You're going to be by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And that's a superior power. Hallelujah. We're going to have a physical form. I believe we'll be able to recognize one another because they recognized Jesus, didn't they? After His resurrection, they immediately recognized Him. They knew who He was. Amen. They could see Him. He sounded the same. He could talk. He could walk. He could eat. Praise the Lord. You know what's going to be great about the new body? You're not going to have to worry about fat. Amen. Skinny people, not going to have to worry about worrying about being too skinny. Fat people, not going to have to worry about being too fat. Amen. The Bible talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know what you do at supper? You eat. Amen. Isn't that right? That's what we always did at our house at supper. We ate. Never tell by looking, but I like to eat. I enjoy it. It likes me too. And food doesn't like some of you nearly as good as it does to me. It loves to stay with me. It to depart. Amen. But there's a heaven to gain. We're going to have a body. We're going to see Jesus Christ, and we're going to immediately be like Him.
Yes.
If you don't know what that is, you read the second chapter, book of Revelation. I'm not going to get into that tonight. We'd be here another 2 hours, but it's awesome, the body of Jesus Christ and what we're going to be. Amen. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. Amen. There really is. There's a place now. Now I want you to know, God's not going to send anybody to hell. Sometimes people say, I don't believe God would. And you're right, He won't. He won't send you there. But you send yourself. Amen. You see, there's just two ways. And it depends on which way you decide to take. It's your decision. If you decide you don't want to go God's way, there's just one other way. There's just one other way. And if you don't want to go with Him, one other place to go. If you don't want to serve the Lord, there's just one other choice. So don't blame God. Don't blame God. He's done everything He can do to save us. He can do no more. He gave His life. He shed His blood. He did everything He could do to save you and me. And if that's not enough, don't blame Him if you're not saved. Well, I don't like my options. You don't get any other choice. You're a creature. He's the Creator. It's just that simple. Amen. If you don't like light, there's always dark. If you don't like righteousness, there's always sin. If you don't like heaven, there's always hell. But you need to understand that there's not going to be any parties in hell. I hear people talk about, oh, there's going to be one big party. Ain't going to be no parties there. The Bible said it's darkness. Darkness. The Bible teaches that it's torment. The Bible teaches that the fire's never quenched. It never goes out. The Bible teaches that it's torment. And the Bible teaches that it's for eternity. And so there's a hell to shun, folks. We need to know that. We need to know that. You need to know there's a heaven to gain. And that's the will of God for everybody. The Bible teaches us that God did not create hell for men. He created it for the devil and his angels. Amen. But then He said hell hath enlarged herself. It's in a building program so that it can take in more, because human beings refuse to follow God and choose to follow after Satan. And so you need to know that tonight. Praise God. But you need to know that there is a heaven to gain, and you can go there. Amen. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Amen. Let's stand together. These are just some basic things that God wants you to know, and some things that you need to know. You need to know the truth. You need to know that you're lost. You need to know how to be saved. If you haven't been, you need to know Acts 2:38. You need to know that God answers prayer. You need to know that all things work together for good to them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. You need to know that there's a heaven, and you need to know that there's a hell to shun. Amen. We need to know those things. Basic instructions. But you need to know that. You just need to know that. Amen. Aren't you glad you know that tonight? Do you know the Lord? Do you really know Him? I'm not talking about just knowing His name. There's a difference in knowing His name and knowing Him. I know the name Barack Obama, but I don't know Him. If I went to the White House and said, I'd like to see Mr. Obama, they'd look and say, who are you? Well, I'm Johnny Grissom. So? Do you know Him? Well, not personally. It wouldn't do me any good, would it? Amen. But you know what? My name's in His book. It's on the list. Praise the Lord. He knows me better than I know myself. He loves me more than I love myself. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's personal. And if you don't know Him like that, you need to know Him like that. You've got to be convinced, and you need to know tonight that the Lord really does love you. He really does. In spite of all the stuff, He really does love you. He really does. You've got to understand that. You've got to know that. You don't have to understand it. I don't know that we ever will, but you do have to know that. It's important to believe that. Amen. Let me invite you tonight to this altar. If you don't know Him, now's the time. This is the place, right now. You can know the Lord before you leave this house tonight. You can know Him in the power and the dimension of the Holy Ghost if you don't know Him like that. Hallelujah. You can be baptized into His name for the remission of sins if you haven't done that. You can know the Lord here tonight. Not taking anybody's word, but you can know Him personally. How about it? How about it? How about it? Amen. Anybody want to know the Lord tonight? Anybody want to make your way to this altar and say, Jesus, here I am. I've heard about You. I've read about You. I've heard good things about You. But I want to know You for myself. Not just what the preacher said. Not just what somebody told me.